Yeah, we got that. Whatever that was that the Kings did last night, we got that to talk about. We got the 49ers and Packers coming up Saturday, playoff game. By the way, on the YouTube chat, Kyle Draper back with us today, back in studio for the first time in many, many moons. Everybody now is excited about Tari Eason. Oh, Eason, get me Eason, please. I don't think that's on the table or anywhere near the table. But, yeah, supposedly Houston interested in HB, and we were just kind of spitballing about what Houston could offer back. I don't think they'd offer Tari Eason.
No, I don't think so. He's a young part of their core, I feel like. They have a lot of young talent, young guards, too. They got off Kevin Porter Jr., who, you know, had his issues off the court. I thought that opened up some, you know, minutes and touches for other guys. I still go back to, if you could redo it, and I know we're about to talk football.
No,
I'm trying to put the football conversation off as long as I possibly can. First of all, I got Brock Purdy staring at me right behind you.
Purdy.
But if you could do it over again, Whitey, this offseason, this past offseason, do you go out there and sign Dylan Brooks? Now, everything we know, I'm talking about on this day, if you had a chance to do it over again, because you were out on Dylan Brooks big time. You said, I don't want no part of this guy. Here we are, January 17th, 2024.
Based on the way he's played, I'd have to say yes if I'm being open-minded. If I'm being honest, me personally, no, I want no part of it. But to answer your question, you know, fairly and trying to be open-minded, based on the way he has played there,
right,
the things they're saying about them, about him, I should say. Yeah, I mean, he's shooting well and he's, like, taking good shots.
Yeah.
That bothered me more than any of the other stuff with him, just that his shot selection was so bad. But he appears to have addressed that, so I would have to say, yeah,
you would.
You're probably right. I wouldn't, but I know people who would.
I was talking to an opposing player during this road trip recently. We were talking about the makeup of the Kings. And he was saying, you got a lot of good guys in that locker room, but you need some dogs. You need some blank holes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. We got – and the discussion we had is – you don't, it's not just you need a guy who is going to challenge the other team. You need a guy that's going to challenge your own teammates.
We needed to see that last night.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the game's greatest winners. We think of Michael Jordan. He was a jerk to teammates at times. Kobe Bryant. Same thing. Our guys show up and we think it's sweet. Great guys to cover, great guys to interview, great guys to be on the team playing and hotel and everything like that. But sometimes you need to shake it up. You need somebody that's, you know, we're talking a Tony Allen type, a Marcus Smart type, a Dylan Brooks type. That's what this team is missing.
Yeah, I know Mike Brown has talked a lot about how it can't just be the coaches.
Right.
It's got to be. And I thought okay. But last night, down the stretch, I was thinking, would be nice if, say, Domas said, give me the bleeping ball.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Hey,
yeah.
Give me the ball. Or
right.
Somebody just took charge to try to restore a sense of order when it was just all flying everywhere.
Right. Our guys just play, and there's no – who's the leader of the team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's the guy that's going to get it back?
It depends, right?
Right.
It changes. There's
it changes.
Not like, oh, it's him. It's like, well, sometimes it's him.
Right.
Sometimes it's him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that we're missing that for sure, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not really something you can acquire in a trade, because you can't bring a new guy and then all of a sudden, hey.
He becomes the leader. And that's tough. Yeah. That's something that develops over time. But I will say, Dylan Brooks did it. Fred VanVleet did it. Like, those guys walk around with an edge, walk around with a chip on their shoulder.
And that's one of the things they acquired them for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we
exactly.
We need you to bring that. So,
right. Yeah, but it was in the off season, so you get a full camp. And, you know, and you had a young team before then that was looking for leadership. We got Domas and De'Aaron Fox. I don't know if a Dylan Brooks, to your point, comes in here and garners that respect from those guys.
If you were running the team, the Kings would have Draymond, they'd have Dylan Brooks.
Smart. You know,
like that
Rasheed
team.
Wallace out of retirement.
Yeah. Sign me up for that team.
Put together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fellas, real quick, you guys are talking about Houston and also assets to spin something around. Something I thought about, would you guys be willing to spin HB around for a first-round pick, especially coming from Houston, which is probably going to be a lottery pick?
Yes.
You're not getting nothing back but a first-round pick, probably a second. Let's just call it a first and a second. This
doesn't
upcoming
help me now, but helps me overall.
So, basically, what you're telling me, Jay, if we do that trade, you got a bigger hole now in that spot.
You call it how you see it, but I'm just
Sasha time.
I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there. Would you be willing? And that would probably tell you you're going to spend, you know, you're making other moves down the road. So you would probably have to have another, you know, as we talked about, a Hunter or someone on the backside, you know, you're getting ready to trade for probably within the next couple of days.
I apologize. I'm not sure what the rules are, but if I acquire that pick, how soon can I spin it?
No, I think the pick you can. Yeah, you can flip it.
Even the future and the other part from all accounts, like you guys mentioned, Sam Vecenie yesterday, guys like that. This draft is going to be down. Like they don't really expect a lot of high power guys for this draft, and even 2025, they're saying may even be down. So you're kind of looking for some young talent right now, and if you can't get it, we know picks can definitely acquire it. So just interesting to see if you guys are willing to flip HB for a pick or two.
Jay, why are you always trying to include HB in things, bro?
I didn't say nothing about HB last time.
Yeah, you always trying to everybody trying to get rid of my guy, Harrison Barnes.
Well,
man.
See, this is the problem I'm having. Is you're starting, as much as I know Drapes outside of the court, Sacramento Kings Drapes is starting to be a nice guy. He's starting to be what we're not looking for. And that's the problem. We need Drapes to come in and be businesslike. We need the Dylan Brooks Kyle Draper. We need the Marcus Smart Kyle Draper. We don't need the that's my guy Kyle Draper anymore. It's time to make some moves, brother.
Jay, can I share with you Harrison Barnes' numbers from the fourth quarter?
Oh, please do.
7 minutes, 10 seconds. Field goals, none. Field goal attempts, none. 3 points, none. 3-point attempts, none. Free throws, none. Free throws attempt, none. Offensive rebounds, none. Defensive rebounds, none. Total, none. Assists, none. One foul, one turnover. Minus 17. Harrison Barnes, fourth quarter.
To me, that garners a first-round pick. I like where you're coming from, Whitey. Maybe even get lucky and get a second-round pick thrown in there,
but
too.
But he is a guy that I think when the offense is starting to come off the rails, that's a guy you give the ball to in the half court.
I thought Harrison Barnes was tremendous early in that game. And then, but you know, to your point, Whitey, and we talked about it earlier, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk took 14 of the 18 shots in the fourth quarter. And I know they are your closers, but this is supposed to be an equal opportunity offense.
Yes, yeah.
They didn't act that way in the fourth quarter last night.
And the other four shots, by the way, all went in. The other four guys, the three guys took four shots. They all went in. Anyway, we'll take a quick timeout, come out with a look at the 49ers, and while Kyle Draper says the 49ers are the luckiest NFL team under the sun, he may be on to something next year. Drive, guys. When Jim Harbaugh coached the 49ers, as I'm sure you remember, after every game that they won, he would ask, who's got it better than us? Nobody. Right now, it's hard to see another NFL team that has it as good as the 49ers, given what happened this weekend, Kyle, with, as you know, your team out, Cowboys out, and so the 49ers end up with Green Bay coming in, and then if they get through the Packers, your Packers, then you got to play the winner of the Lions in Tampa Bay. Not
you can
the way.
Talk all the trash now. Don't let my Green Bay Packers come in.
What? Jay, you still got that, bro? It is the easiest road since, arguably, and I just looked this up. The 2018 Patriots faced the Titans, who pulled off an upset, and then the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah.
In the AFC Championship.
Remember? Jaguars almost beat them.
Right, they almost got them. Like, but when I look at NFL playoffs and contenders, I look at the quarterback. If you were to do a ranking of NFC quarterbacks, let me get your top five.
NFC? Well, let's see.
Regular season, I'm talking.
I'm not going to put them in order here, okay?
Yeah, just this is just out, your top five.
I would put Dak in there.
Okay.
This year I would put Purdy in there.
Okay.
I would put Goff's having a great year.
Hey, you want to go Goff? Okay.
Yeah. He is, and there's probably somebody I'm missing here.
Jalen Hurts, maybe? Maybe?
Nah.
Five?
Nah.
You know, 5.5?
Actually, the way he's played late, Jordan Love might actually
be on. Don't even try that, Whitey. No.
Okay, but
you
I get
see
your point.
What I'm saying.
Stafford, yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
Let me throw this at you. And Jay, don't be quiet. You can get in and scout some
in
of
here,
this
brother.
Smoke, too.
I'm in there.
Of the remaining 8 quarterbacks, give me a ranking. The top 4 are in the AFC.
Yeah, I know.
No. No way. No.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Josh Allen.
Yep.
Mahomes.
Yep. Brock Purdy.
CJ?
Nope.
Purdy. My boy CJ?
Purdy.
Okay, I give you that.
Purdy.
Then yeah. CJ Stroud right after that, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. You got the bottom 3 quarterbacks in the NFC.
Goff and Stroud are... Goff and Stroud are...
That's what I'm saying. And so Brock Purdy, on his way to the Super Bowl, is going to have to beat Jordan Love and maybe Baker Mayfield.
That's like, great.
That is the worst quarterback gauntlet to go. Like, seriously.
What are they supposed to do?
That is terrible.
Are they supposed to say, hey, no, we want to play a different team?
Facts are facts, though, Whitey. Can we all agree this is a weak NFC field left?
I think it was the Niners' fault.
Right. Nobody's saying that.
Oh, okay.
I'm just asking you, can we agree on that? That's just a statement.
Yeah, I think that it was a bad down year for the conference as it was.
It was.
Before everything that...
My Eagles choked bad. You know, they're terrible. Dallas folded like a cheap suit.
Yeah.
And now you're left with Baker Mayfield, Goff, and Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love, midway through the season, people thought maybe he wasn't the guy. And he's gone on an incredible run as of late. But that's what I'm saying. And they have home field advantage. Is Jordan Love really going to go into Levi's Stadium?
Probably not.
According to you, they are.
What I'm hoping and what's going to happen.
You're a Packer fan.
I got some things I want to say, but I'm going to let my Packers do the talking this week.
You done clipped everything from yesterday. but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, can we at least say no excuses right now for the Niners?
Agree.
Like, if they don't get to the Super Bowl.
I agree.
This would be maybe a bigger choke job than Dallas or Philadelphia.
If they play the Lions.
You think the Lions can go on the road and get it done?
I don't think they will, but the Lions they're not just like some lucky team. If their defense plays, they're built. We talked about this from the first game of the year when they beat Kansas City. We talked about, hey, Detroit, they're pretty solid up front on both sides of the football. That's a good team. The 49ers are better, and if the Detroit Lions came in to Santa Clara and they beat the 49ers, that would be a shameful loss. But Detroit is not. It's not a bad team. They're a good.
Let's
I think they're better than Dallas, and they're better than your team.
We could go through the power rankings, and I know you say the standings. You can rank all the teams remaining in the NFL playoffs.
Well, but we've given you that point about
that was
AFC
quarterbacks.
Stronger.
Okay, exactly.
Okay, but
so there's no argument. This is an easy, weak, watered down NFC. Like I said, there's a little asterisk next to the Super Bowl run, in my opinion.
Because
this is pretty.
It's not the pandemic, sir. No way.
Jay,
They've had to play 17 games. No shortcuts. They smacked Dallas. They smacked Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They've done what they're supposed to do. They ran through NFC West. Let's not forget, we had guys like Lewis Riddick, guys like that who were picking Seattle to win the NFC West at a point in time.
We may have discussed Seattle at
times.
Yeah. But this year we said
People were picking. Yeah. We had guys that were coming on, like Lewis Riddick coming on this show saying Seattle would win the NFC West.
Uh-huh. And – If the 49ers, and who knows what will happen, let's say they ended up winning the Super Bowl and they had not played Dallas or Philadelphia all year. I can see how maybe you'd say, oh, they didn't have to play the two best teams. They destroyed both of those
teams.
The
regular season don't matter, Whitey.
Oh, it matters.
Regular season does not matter. Now,
Your team would have had home field if they hadn't gotten destroyed. My team,
it's not about them right now. We're talking about
the Niners changed their whole trajectory, though. Dallas is for a while
Eagles
as well.
We're teetering as is. Let's be honest. Okay. The Eagles were teetering.
That's not what I was hearing in November.
I'm saying this. This is like the Wizard of Oz and the yellow brick road is a gold brick road laid out for the San Francisco 49ers. At the end of the day, if you win it, you win it. You're going to celebrate that.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
No asterisk.
But you got to admit, it's there for them. Like, this is it.
Sure.
This is the week. I mean, my gosh.
Drapes, it was
Detroit there. Almost lost this last week.
It was there for them before the playoffs started, though.
Nah, not if Dallas would have made it.
Well, that's not the 49ers' fault that Green Bay won. Now they play the team who just drudged Dallas.
But how can you say that about Dallas given what we just saw of them last week?
That was one game. It was one bad game. I think Dallas, the totality of the Cowboys, I think they're a good team. I think they're a championship. They had one bad day, really bad day. Like, I would have liked to seen San Francisco go through Philly this week, then have to play Dallas.
I don't think you would have liked that, but we'll never know.
Now you're talking about some star power. You're talking about some great quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts. You know, now it's like being, you know, the Celtics last year. You get to face the Miami Heat in the Eastern. Miami Heat was the 8-9 seed. They were a playing team.
You know what
it was laid out for you, and they choked it away.
Yeah, when the Warriors won their first championship, 2015, of this group, they dodged. They ended up, they didn't have to play the Clippers because the Clippers lost to Houston.
Yeah.
People were saying the same thing.
Right.
Now you look back on it, guess what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. As long as you win, it doesn't matter. But for this discussion right now on this day, man, it's a weak road to the championship for you guys. Like, I'm looking at, look at the AFC. Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore. You got
both
three Hall
teams.
Of Fame players right there at quarterback. C.J. Stroud, your offensive rookie of the year for the Texans.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a legit. This NFC, I'm telling you, man.
You saying Houston's better than Detroit?
No way. Stop that.
I'm talking about the quarterback.
Kansas City's not better than Detroit.
I'm talking about the.
Yeah.
What?
Kansas City's not bad.
I'm
they
talking about playoffs. See, you guys are looking at regular season.
No.
Come on,
I'm
man.
Looking
look
at right
the
now.
Playoffs.
Kansas
right
City
now.
Got destroyed at home by Detroit.
That was regular season week one, Whitey. You going back to week one.
I think they would beat them this week, too.
I'm taking my guy Pat Mahomes in a playoff game.
And
I
all
think
them receivers.
Quarterback play it has to, is the driver of the postseason. If you have elite quarterback play, you have a chance.
Mark that down.
I'm looking at four elite quarterbacks in the AFC. How many elite QBs do we have in the NFC? Zero.
Mark that down. Mark that down.
I'm not even putting golf there. I'm not.
Okay, then by your theory, if you got to have great quarterbacking to win in the playoffs and there are no great quarterbacks in the NFC, then what you're saying is an NFC team cannot win the Super Bowl, right? That's what you're saying? Is that what you would...
That's what he's saying.
He's trying to back me into a car.
No, and you're saying on top of that, Purdy winning two games doesn't mean anything in the play because it's the playoffs now.
If Purdy advances to the Super Bowl, that's nothing.
But, Drapes, all season you've been saying
but
he's got to do it in the playoffs.
I didn't know it would be laid out this weekly. If you're saying he's going to be Green Bay and maybe Tampa Bay, you're going to be, you know, Purdy's is great. Dude, those are like, come on, man. Jake, let's keep it real, bro.
Well, that's what I'm trying to.
These are sorry teams.
I'm just asking you the question. Are you saying that no NFC team can win the Super Bowl because none of them have an elite quarterback?
I'm saying you're trying to back me into a corner.
I'm
not going to let you do that.
Question.
No, the Niners are the outlier because they're a juggernaut all around. Their weakness is the quarterback position. They got strengths all over the rest of the roster. And so they're winning. I'm not going to say in spite of Brock Purdy, but they can win it without Brock Purdy throwing for 300 yards, three touchdowns, that kind of thing.
How happy will you be if the 49ers lose the Super Bowl? Let's say they get to the Super Bowl.
You know what? We're the Niners station, so I don't want to go on record with that. But
Whitey, there's a lot of things I'm confused on because
what?
2 months ago he had to see it in the playoffs. Now we're here in the playoffs,
right?
A bunch of these guys
can't even, now they can't even compete. But at the same time, Purdy and the 49ers are the reason Dallas and Philadelphia are probably out almost at this point. And he can't even get love and credit for that.
Yeah.
So what is he getting credit for? This dude's taking tests and he's not getting any credit. He's just pass or fail. He can't even get an A, B, or C. Just give him credit. Nothing.
You know, in Arizona, they have the grass field and the huge dome and then they move it in and out.
Yes.
And if you have the goalposts on it, that's what you're... Because the goalposts.
See, here's the thing. This is my last thing on this, Jay. If you go back to when we initially had our Brock Purdy takes and conversation.
Oh, that's all year.
I said, if Brock Purdy, is he going to really go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson,
quarterback? Wait, hold on. Stop, Drapes. I don't mean to cut you off. You didn't say none of the AFC guys. You were talking about Jalen Hurts. You were talking about Dak Prescott.
Come on, bro. To get to the Super Bowl, he has to beat Green Bay,
who just
and
beat
Jordan
Dallas.
Love, and Detroit?
Maybe.
We'll see.
What?
You might have to be Baker Mayfield.
Yet again. Which he's already done.
Bro. Come on. This is like the worst quarterbacks you will have ever had to face to get to the Super Bowl in NFL. This is terrible. Man. You got the four best quarterbacks in the NFC.
You got three and a Purdy. Three and a Purdy.
Yeah. And golf's pretty good.
Yes.
Oh, when we come back, another big question. Brock Purdy may have to answer this Saturday. Drive, guys, right back with that on Sacktown Sports.
When the unexpected happens.
By the third quarter, Kyle Shanahan knew he had to focus his scouting efforts on your Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
I think Belichick ends up going to the Cowboys. What do you think?
I want to see him go to Philly if they make a move.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that would be the best fit for him. You know, Bill Belichick has a strong ego, personality. Is he really going to listen to Jerry Jones? Can we see that working out?
Maybe if it's a short term, if he's like, I just want to stick around another few years, maybe win one somewhere else.
Yeah.
If this team gives me my best chance, I could put up with Jerry for a couple years. I mean, I could see it if that's the case. I understand your point.
But if he does go to Dallas, they are ready made to compete for a championship, I think.
Yeah.
All they need is a coach, some structure, a little more discipline on the field as well. I wonder, though, why would he interview with the Falcons? Why would Jim Harbaugh interview with the Falcons? Is it just to get some reps? Like, would they really consider the Falcons?
I don't know. Could it be a matter of, well, they're gonna want us, so they're going to make a huge offer
and raise my
price tag? I don't know.
Right.
It's also kind of a courtesy problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like though, I mean, I can see, you know, Chargers, Cowboys, Patriots was a good job until, they gave it to Gerard Mayo, obviously. That was pretty quick. But, mm-hmm. I would like Belichick to me doesn't seem like he would go to a total rebuild. Because you had that in New England, and it wasn't working out. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Yeah, because he's, 72? So he wants to go somewhere he can win, like, right away, if possible.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
And somewhere with a quarterback already, too, mm-hmm. right? And because we've seen Belichick's drafting of quarterbacks has not been good over the years.
Yeah.
You got Tom Brady, but after that,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Jimmy G, Mac Jones, like, you know, they haven't been able to replicate that. And so Dallas makes a lot of sense. I don't know about the Jerry Jones situation, but from a talent standpoint, ready to win standpoint, that would be a huge fit.
I got a Mac Jones Silver Prism rookie. And when he started falling, I remember like before his first camp, there were reports that, wow, this is not going well. And I was wondering, should I sell it?
You should have sold it. you try to give it away right now, somebody will be like, all right, give me that, and I need $20 from you. Like, you got to pay to give that thing away right now.
We were just talking, as we so often are, about Brock Purdy, and a lot of people are saying this could be a real test for Brock Purdy this week, not because they're playing Green Bay, but because there's a chance it's going to be wet. Now, the latest I saw today, they were expecting a big rainstorm Saturday night in Santa Clara. The latest I saw today, of course, it can change. The rain is not as of the latest forecast, not expected to come until after the game ends. But the point is, against Cleveland this year, against Seattle last year, I think it was in the playoffs, Brock Purdy has struggled a little bit with a wet ball. So, you know, we're still not sure what he is, but you remember the Cleveland game, it looked like, what's wrong with him? And a lot of people think that could be a challenge for him if the ball is wet this week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But they got the ground game. I mean, you know, it's the Packers, my Green Bay Packers, but I don't know, man. Like,
you can talk all the trash now. Don't let my Green Bay Packers come in
there. Jay, I'm never going to live that down. Do we got a show Monday? I may have to call in sick on Monday because if the Niners win on Monday.
No, it's expected. No worries.
He said it's expected. You just got to take that, Drapes. We have seen in the past this season, thinking Cleveland, conditions not that ideal, not that favorable. Brock Purdy has struggled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That might be Jordan Love's only hope. That might be the Packers' only hope. I just, you know, if I'm being unbiased, calling it like it is, they should mop the floor with Green Bay. Green Bay is not a legit. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not ready for prime time.
And, yet. You know, Jordan Love, you were just talking about comparing the quarterbacks. He's one of their strengths. It's their, you know, they can't stop the run.
Right.
And they can't stop other teams' running backs in the passing game. So, given those two things, this is potentially just a horrible matchup for the Packers.
Yeah. Packers aren't a great defensive team.
Yeah.
Niners should carve them up like Swiss cheese. And then you got, you know, I would like to see Detroit. You know, Detroit, I think, can score. You know, they can make plays. I like their head coach.
And they're still kind of playing with house money.
A little bit. But, you know, here's the thing about Detroit versus, I think, the other teams left in the NFC. I feel like they play with an edge. They have, like, an edge about them. Almost a nastiness, if you will. They take on the personality of their head coach, Dan Campbell. You know, look at Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. You look at Bowles in Tampa. More nice guy. Like, you know, like Dan Campbell seems to be a motivator. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's, expecting us to win. Everybody's against us. Like, I could imagine his pregame speech getting ready if they make it for the NFC Championship game. And he might just inspire his guys. And what it sort of reminds me of, I was covering the New England Patriots back in 2010, I think it was. I can't remember the year. But Baltimore came in, and Baltimore had a great team. Ray Rice was on there. And right from the jump, they gashed the Patriots. Ray Rice, 63-yard run, right opening, first play of the game, changed the entire course of the game. I think Detroit has that kind of capability, will come in with that kind of mindset to maybe make it a game. I don't expect that from Green Bay. Baker Mayfield, come on, man. I just don't see it. But I think Detroit, you know, may have a puncher's chance if they meet up with San Fran.
Did you hear what Mark Chmura had to say today?
No, what did he say?
Mark Chmura, former Packer tight end.
Yeah.
He was on a radio show in Green Bay or Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. This is a big story today because basically what he was saying was you gotta touch up Brock Purdy. He said, I think we have the audio somewhere. We'll get it. A 15-yard penalty, and I don't condone this, but I kind of do in the playoffs. A 15-yard penalty for a late hit on Brock Purdy is not a bad thing as long
no
as
way.
It's worth it.
He said that.
Mark Chmura said, ESPN Milwaukee today. Yeah, and now you got people like Richard Sherman coming out and saying, there is no excuse for saying something like
that.
You
can't say that.
Ever. I think it's one of those things, if you talk to, you know, football players, they'll tell you that happens all the time, but you're not supposed to say it,
right? You're not supposed to come out there. Like, the end doesn't justify the means in this situation. If we can knock him out, yeah, we might get hit with a penalty, a fine, but he'll be out of the game. We'll take it. That's not sportsmanship right there.
Chmura said, quote, sometimes a 15-yard penalty is worth it early in the game if you knock the living crap out of the guy. And then he kind of like sticking your helmet in the ribs of Nick Bosa. It's like, I'm hearing ghosts. So that's what Mark had to say today.
Like you said.
His point was.
You may think that,
mm-hmm.
but saying it?
Yeah. His point was, like you were saying, he feels like when they went to Candlestick in 90. was it 95 and they won? Mm-hmm. He said, no one gave us a chance.
Right.
But we went out there and we were very physical.
Right.
And
right.
So that's what he's saying this team has to be. But I don't know that this Packers.
1995. Yeah, man. It's 2023. Man, you need to stop.
Yeah. Mark Chmura's been through a lot since then.
Some of these cats on the team weren't even born.
Yeah, you're right. Mark Chmura, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah,
man.
But yeah, okay. That and yeah, we don't say that anymore, Mark.
You don't. Yeah. You know, you may say that behind closed doors,
right?
Team meetings or something like that. I can guarantee you. You know, you want your players, if you're a coach, seeing red. Mm-hmm. You know, get after that quarterback. We're going to lay the wood on him, and so. I could see an aggressive Detroit team coming out in a couple of weeks. I'm already, if I'm being real, I'm already looking past this one. I'm like, Detroit, you got to get it done. But Dan Campbell motivating his guys like that. I could see something like that happen.
Yeah, and one more thing. You said Todd Bowles is a nice guy. He's such a nice guy. I saw this today. Maybe you've seen it.
Yeah.
He was talking to the media. You know how coaches can be with the media sometimes.
Yep.
And somebody in the media was asking him, hey, if you got to go play Detroit, in Detroit, it's been really cold there, and, you know, how do you get your team ready? And Todd Bowles kind of looks around and goes, you know they have a dome, right?
Ooh.
But he didn't. He was, like, nice about it. Yeah. He could have said, that's a stupid. Right. But he said, he's like, you know they have a dome, right?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. And I saw somewhere that it was a local news reporter. They had done away with their sports department.
Oh.
And so, you know, sometimes you have the news report who really don't know about sports. Yeah. It's just, come on now.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
All right. When we come back here, the Kings lost a game last night that mathematically it was almost impossible to lose. So how did that happen? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. How about this? Kyle Draper back in studio today, along with Kevin Gleason. And Kings are a lot of the national news today, Kyle. ESPN.com.
Really?
ESPN.
Oh, yeah, ESPN.
Yeah, but not for very good reason as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
Because of what happened to them
historic
last night.
Collapse.
Yes. How does that happen?
I'm still salty, Whitey. I'm still in my feelings about it. Because Phoenix isn't a tremendous home court advantage. And you let them bums come back on you like that, get their crowd into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's disheartening. You know, we had sort of exercised the demons of being the laughingstock of the league. But on this day, everybody's saying, look at the Kings doing Kings things.
Yep.
And that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That's upsetting to me.
Yes, yes. The numbers are... The math of it was supposedly up 22 in the fourth quarter with 8:10 left. The Kings were said to have a 99.9% chance of winning that game, which is like, well, that's almost impossible to lose. And yet somehow they found a way to lose down the stretch, falling apart 119-117, the final. And look, it's a bad loss in terms of how it happened. But in terms of the standings as well, it's like, that one hurts a little bit.
That one hurts a little bit. In terms of the standings, because when you look at it, you started yesterday in fifth place, I do believe. And with one loss,
you're right.
Dallas leapfrogs you. New Orleans leapfrogs you. And now Phoenix is only a game back, and they're surging. They've won 8 out of their last 11. And so right now you're a play-in team.
Mm-hmm. You're also, and this may be a stretch, you're also only 2 games ahead of a team that all of a sudden has won 6 in a row. And the Utah
Jazz.
I know the Kings, it seems like they could beat that team in their sleep. But Utah's playing well all of a sudden.
The hottest team in the league. They've won 9 out of 10, 6 in a row. They tweaked their starting lineup, having Walker Kessler come off the bench. John Collins, who we've talked about on this show about a potential trade target, now he's playing lights out, so I don't see them selling him at the trade deadline, and they're scary. I don't think they're a contender, but are they in contender for one of those play-in spots?
Sure.
I think they are.
Yeah. Long story short, I think we see it in basketball at just about every level. Team A gets way ahead, and then there's something that they lose an edge, they lose a focus, you know, and then Team B starts coming back, and by the time Team A realizes we have a game,
yeah,
it's too late.
It's too late.
And I think to a degree that's Not, and it's not an excuse. It shouldn't happen, but I think it happened last night.
You know, and sitting here thinking about it, this is the issue that Sacramento Kings have all season long. And it's not just about last night's game. It's not about Milwaukee. It's about the Houston game, the Pelicans. When a team goes on a run, to your point, we don't know how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to shut a team off. When a team starts cooking, lights out. We've seen it from the Pelicans at home. We saw it last night with Phoenix. I think that's our biggest issue right now. If I was going to take a macro view of it, 10,000 feet in the sky, it's when teams punch us and go on their runs, we don't know how to stop it.
Right. Rather than we're going to stop them, we're going to get a stop, it's, well, I'm sure that's what they say.
Yeah.
But what it amounts to is we just have to weather this until it blows over.
Right. And, you hope it ends. Yeah.
Stop falling for them.
I mean, you look at what Philadelphia did, New Orleans, even Charlotte went on a run. Terry Rozier lit us up. This was the home game I'm talking about. Portland. I mean, you look at all these losses, that's the central theme. At some point in the game, the team gets confidence, they hit a few shots, and then they go on a run. 32-8 was the run to end the game last night. As great of an offensive team Sacramento is supposed to be, there's no way a team should go on a 32-8 run.
Mm-hmm.
No way you should only score 21 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about this. And so when you talk about the problem, I think it boils down to that. We don't have run stoppers, or we don't know how to stop runs. Is that going out and getting Matisse Thybulle, focusing on defense? Is that going out there and getting better offensive players? Something has to happen, though. To me, it just hit me sitting here talking to you right now. All these losses, we don't know how to stop runs.
Yeah, that's why I think I'm with you. And I think if you just take all the Kings' issues, like any team has issues, but all their issues, their assets, their problems, where they come up short. The bottom line, the biggest issue with this team, the thing that anchors them, keeps them from getting to where they need to be, is the fact that they're just really a poor defensive team. And I know the numbers and the rating, you can say, well, look, now it's up, now it's down. But when they need to play good defense, it's not there for them. They're not a very good defensive team. And the other side of that coin is teams like the Suns, they fall behind, and they know that, oh, we're going to have a chance to get back in this game.
There was no panic from Phoenix last night.
Yeah.
You never felt like, you know what, they're just going to roll over, play dead. Like, soon as they hit two threes in a row, Eric Gordon, it was like, shoot. They decided to play basketball now.
Yeah.
Because they were sleepwalking there early on. Kevin Durant wasn't doing a whole lot. Brad Beal and Booker were held in check. Grayson Allen kept them in the game. And then, bam, they started hitting some threes, other guys other than Allen. And we had no answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's our biggest problem. Look at the New Orleans Pelicans games. Kings actually started off good, except that last game. But in the first three games against them, Sacramento actually held their own in the first quarter. But then the Pelicans punch back. They go on a little run, and then it just snowballs from there. Teams get confidence, and we can't turn it off.
I do think that whatever the Kings do, it has to be something that addresses them defensively. However, I don't know how realistic it is to think that you bring in one, maybe if you're lucky, two guys, that they're really going to have that big of an impact on your defense.
But, you know,
and maybe this is one on-the-ball stopper can make a bit.
This is something I asked Mike Brown the other day. This was the Milwaukee game. Because I wanted to know what the body language of the team was when a team goes on a run like that. I'm like, Mike, are you seeing good body language? It's like, sometimes yes, sometimes not. I mean, that's just the NBA. That's how it is. It happened the same way in Golden State. And so I don't think you necessarily, the answer is going to lie in, oh, this guy's a defensive stopper. I need the spirit of the team, the heart of the team in these moments to show. And that's what's disappointing. You're not seeing that fight that, you know what? You went on a 12-0 run. We're not going to take it anymore. We're going to get a stop right now. And so I'm not necessarily talking about getting the best on-ball defender there is. I'm talking about an emotional leader on the floor. And whether that's Fox stepping up, DeMontis, somebody, That has to change. You can't just have Phoenix going a 32-8 run, Whitey. Come right. on, man. That can't happen.
They had the game still there before him, right. even as the lead started evaporating. They needed somebody to say, look, it stops now, right? Okay, we have this game. We got to finish. And no one was able to do that. It was more like, oh, we're good. We're good. We're good. Then all of a sudden, we lost.
Complete opposite of last year, too, right? Like, yeah. this team last year, you knew they had that fight. They had that dog in them a little bit. Like, you knew that, like I said earlier, during Drape's takes, they would find ways to win. Now it seems like we're finding ways to lose, and that's concerning.
Mm-hmm. So, going forward, we'll continue today to examine ways the Kings can make sure that doesn't happen again. Jason Anderson from the B will join us about 4:15. And up next, some numbers that show just how incredibly unlikely that comeback was. Next with The Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.